The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit. Our featured nonprofit this morning are the DSPs of all the agencies on Long Island. We salute them. And today our show is about the DSPs. We had an event that was an idea of Hassam Maksoud, and he wanted to honor the DSPs because they're the workers that do the most in all the tough times. They're our healthcare heroes. And I want to introduce Josh Greenbaum.
Hi, Ron. I'm Josh Greenbaum, the new CEO of Community Care RX. Our founder, Hassam Maksoud, spearheaded the idea of bringing honor and attention to the DSPs who provide such vital care to so many throughout our region.
Thanks, Josh. We also have a special guest on the phone. She's the acting commissioner of OPW, Kerry Neifeld. Hi, Kerry. It's good to see you again. Oh, I can't see you.
Thanks for having me.
You did such a great job at the DSP Awards in Muttontown that day. I mean, everybody who met you, they were so excited about it. Tell me what your thoughts are.
I mean, I had just as much fun being there, and it's really exciting for me to get to meet the providers and the direct support professionals who are doing this work every day. And like you said, they really are our heroes. You know, and what I said that day, you know, I mean, you know, people who do this job do it because they love the work. And honestly, they do it even though they could be doing something else. And that something else might be a little bit easier and it might even pay better. But they still continue to show up and support and serve people with developmental disabilities. And I was just really grateful for the opportunity to be there and honor them and salute them.
I also want to thank Jennifer O'Sullivan, who is your communications director. So this has been a big week for you. You know, you've got the budget coming out with Governor Hochul, and you have a couple of items in there that could help some of the people that are here. And by the way, you have two CEOs sitting with me right now. One is the CEO, John Lessard from DDI, and Paul Torres, who you met, who is the CEO at AHRC Suffolk. And they're excited about what you're doing and excited about you. So tell them what you're working on right now that can benefit them.
Sure. Hi, guys. Sorry I'm not there with you. You know, happy to be on the phone with you at least. Yes, the governor's budget came out on Tuesday, and we were very excited. I think, you know, here at the agency and all across the sector, very excited to see, you know, that she's making a lot of really significant investments in our sector and in our field. You know, the first, and I think that, you know, one of the most noteworthy is the inclusion of a 5.4% COLA for the Human Services and Mental Hygiene Agencies, which is a long sought after investment, you know, in our providers and in what they do, you know, to be able to, you know, to help them to keep up with the increased cost of doing business, you know, and keep pace with what things cost today. So this is a huge COLA. It's a huge adjustment. And I think it will provide a lot of opportunity, you know, to help with the workforce crisis and also to address other, you know, sort of fiscal constraints that we've been facing over the last several years. It's the first time in, I think, almost 10 years that we've had a COLA, with the exception of last year's 1%. Also, the governor put into her budget, you know, significant investments for recruitment and retention of healthcare and mental hygiene staff and, you know, our direct support professionals and some of our clinical staff, you know, fall into that bucket, you know, and depending on the number of hours worked and how long people have been employed, there's an opportunity for, people to receive up to a $3,000 bonus. And the way that the language of the bill is structured is that it also gives providers an opportunity to use that as a recruitment incentive as well, because there is a prospective period of time where people will still be eligible even if they're not currently employed, which I think is great. You know, there are lots of other, you know, really exciting things in the budget. Just a few of them is, you know, $23 million to increase resources for housing, which will go a long way to increasing the value of our housing voucher subsidy. So people who are looking to access an apartment in the community with some supports and services and, you know, to live relatively independently, you know, they'll have a voucher that can help them, you know, access apartments on the fair market, which our rental voucher has been, you know, underfunded for a while. So that's a really exciting opportunity. We're also doing, you know, we're also investing in a grant opportunity. So OPWDD will be able to put a grant opportunity out to providers to provide employment skills training, which is not something that we traditionally do. Most of what we fund through employment and pre-vocational training is done through the Medicaid program and, you know, provides funding for habilitative services. This grant opportunity will be dedicated to skills training so that we can help people, you know, not only, you know, with the habilitative services to ready them to enter the job market, but then also the real concrete skills that people need in order to be competitive in today's market. And I was just visiting an employment site today where 70% of the people on site were who were employed had developmental disabilities, and they were working, you know, at the same level as everybody else who was employed there. And it was really incredible to see. So we're very excited to be able to invest, you know, in that type of a grant opportunity. The governor's budget includes, you know, many other, you know, opportunities for OPWDD and our providers, but those are some of the big highlights that we're very excited about.
Well, you've definitely put a new face on OPW, I'll tell you that. We're all excited about that, and I know that the agencies I work with are too. So we look forward to you coming down here in March. You are going to host a radio show yourself, and you're going to visit some of the locations, and it's Developmental Disability Month, I think, in March. So you're picking the right time to come down here and meet everybody. I'm going to see if either John or Paul wants to ask you a question. And if not, then we'll just move on with the rest of the show.
Great.
Well, Commissioner, first of all, this is John Lessard. It's a pleasure to have an opportunity to connect with you in this fashion. And I have heard nothing but wonderful things about everything you've done thus far. And I'm particularly excited about what you described in the governor's budget and appreciate all you're doing to help move those initiatives forward. And I do hope that in your visit to Long Island in March, perhaps you'll pay us a visit. We'll have an opportunity to show you around our program. But the one thing I just wanted to just say as a perspective, and I don't know if it's a question so much as just what I believe is going to be the case, but I, you know, just want to say that I hope that you will be working, you know, in partnership with all of us as providers. I think that in recent past, providers just haven't had that kind of an opportunity. And I can assure you that we want to help find solutions to all of the challenges that our industry faces and that the state faces. And, you know, I think that if we can have a seat at your table and work collaboratively, I think we're going to have a great relationship and we're going to do great things for this industry in the years ahead.
Paul?
Agreed. I good morning, Commissioner Neufeld. I just wanted to say thank you. I think great hope in the industry right now, feeling the alignment between your application of the EAF MAP funding directly towards supporting DSPs and the efforts to retain and recruit DSPs in combination with Governor Hochul's state annual budget. And that investment, I think that we all recognize that the, you know, the unintended consequences of the minimum wage raises pushed DSPs and a lot of entry-level jobs into being minimum wage jobs. And we all know that those are not minimum wage jobs. The intense responsibility of those jobs, the incredible work that's done, we so appreciate the alignment between, you know, your office and the state in supporting us in going forward in recruiting and retaining DSPs.
And that's so important as far as every agency that is on Long Island and probably throughout state has such a need to bring in more people, more DSPs. We're all short and they're working so hard. And that's one of the reasons that honoring the DSPs for their hard work was such a great idea that Hassam came up with. And we put it on in Muttontown Country Club in December, and we honored the DSPs. And today we have two of them with us, and I want to have John introduce your DSP first. And
sure, Ron. It's my pleasure to introduce DDI's honored DSP. Her name is Alicia Marine, and she's been a direct support professional in DDI's Children's Residential Program for 2.5 years. And in a very short time, I can tell you that she has distinguished herself in the eyes of her peers and everybody at DDI. And, you know, that is the reason why she was selected as our DSP to be recognized, which is, to me, is such an amazing honor, because so many DSPs do such exceptional work. To be recognized and standing out under such difficult circumstances as DSPs have worked under these, in particularly these recent years, I think it is really an amazing tribute. And Alicia is a wonderful representative from my organization.
Alicia, welcome. Tell us what it's like to be a DSP.
Oh my goodness, what it's like to be a DSP. We are advocates for the children that we serve. We are teachers. We find moments to teach in even the most simple moments. We are looking for opportunities to teach our individuals how to be more independent. And we are friends. We are there for our individuals. We support them emotionally.
That's great. Paul, why don't you tell us about your DSP, introduce her, and then we'll talk to her.
Thanks, Ron. I really want to thank Lorraine Rolliff for being here today. She's our DSP who was recognized for the Excellence Awards at the Community CareRx event. Lorraine has been a lead in our PWW Program Without Walls program. And Lorraine has just done this incredible job being creative, resourceful, finding meaningful and fulfilling volunteer and work experiences in the community that really have been transformational in the lives of the individuals she serves. And even more have also been transformational in changing people's perceptions of the individuals we work with in the community, hearts and minds, one by one.
Lorraine, tell us about your job.
It's extremely rewarding.
How long?
I've technically been with the agency 6 years. I left for a little while, but came right back because this is my calling. It's extremely rewarding seeing them feel accomplished while we're doing the community service stuff that we do and the community's response to it. And it's just the smiles they come back with, knowing that they themselves have gone and helped in the community where they're a population who usually is receiving the help and now they're giving the help. There's nothing better.
Kerry, you're still on the phone, right?
I'm here.
Attaboy. Well, this is, it's amazing. I mean, I didn't start in this field, but my agency only works with nonprofits. And what I find in any agency that I go to, you always see this kind of an attitude. It's wonderful. They've been there for 5 years. They've been there for 10 years. They've left. They've come back. And it's not about the money, obviously. It's about how they feel about the job that they do. And as you go from one agency to another and you start meeting people, you will see the same thing. They have awards dinners and you see, I've been there 30 years. I've been there 20 years. Congratulations to both of you. I'm glad you were picked as a DSPs. Gary, you want to say anything about it?
Well, definitely congratulations to both of you and thanks for what you do. I know that, you know, you worked really hard throughout the pandemic and how difficult that was. And pandemic aside, you know, every day you show up and it's an emotional job and it's a physical job. And I know that, you know, you're giving your all to the people that you serve. And I think, you know, one thing that I have learned is how important your work is, you know, not just to like the families and to the providers and to OPWDD, but to the individuals that you're serving. When I talk to people about how much they value their DSP and really, you know, and think of them as, like you said, family and friends and people that you, you know, you're having dinner with and, you know, people are, you know, sharing what's going on in their lives, right? I mean, I just think it's an incredible job. You know, I started as a social worker in indirect care and wouldn't trade those years for anything. So I'm just very grateful for your commitment and want to thank you and say congratulations.
Well, Carrie, when you were there, you saw 38 DSPs come up and get their awards. And one of the reasons this event was put on was because the CEOs from the agencies, they're always picked. You know, you want to be honored, you want to be honored. And some of them are saying, well, how much is it going to cost, you know, for me to be honored? But these DSPs, they came up and got their awards one by one. The faces they had, the admiration that we had sitting in the audience and looking at it was wonderful. Now, as far as DSPs go, I'm looking at the two of them now, Alicia and Lorraine, right? And both of them are DSPs and do different things. So one's in a residence, the other's in the community. Lorraine, tell me about that.
It's great to take the individuals I support out into the community and the staff that I even have working with me, the other DSPs, and their response and their feedback from the community being so positive, and just it's just extremely rewarding, like I said.
Well, how is it different during COVID?
With COVID, it has been a challenge to get companies to work with us and want us to come in and offer our services. But we have found some that are willing, and it just seems to be more and more opening up, and it's getting better and better each day, I think.
What about working inside, Alicia?
So working in the Children's Residential Program at DDI, I have a wonderful opportunity to see the kids. I work in the mornings, and so I see them first thing when they wake up in the morning. I help them with simple things like making breakfast, learning how to brush their teeth, and I get them ready for school, and I'm able to come and pick them up at the end of the day and bring them back to the residence, work on communication goals and social goals, and it's like Lorraine said, it's just incredibly rewarding to watch the slow progress. Every day is a surprise, and that's one of the things I love most about the job, besides the kids.
Well, this is Without Walls that you are working with, right? What does that mean?
It's not like a typical day hab in a classroom and stuff. We have numerous activities and stuff going on during the day in on site, but also they have the opportunity to go into the community and volunteer. We do a volunteer thing with Lighthouse Mission in their pantry, and we go and we hand out food to the community in a couple of different locations. They also volunteer at a senior center and help serve lunch there on different days of the week. But we also go out and we do fun things like bowling and shopping, and they come back to site and do cooking with the stuff and ingredients they've purchased. So it's a very different kind of thing than just a typical day hab program.
So if you were to classify, Allison, what a DSP is, it seems like it has a lot of meanings to it.
Yeah, so as DSPs, we wear a lot of different hats. We, as I said before, you know, we're advocates, we're friends, we're teachers.
Okay. Now, how you both agencies, John and Paul, are obviously looking for DSPs. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get in touch with us through our website. They can come right on site here in Bohemia and at our West Hampton Beach location, where we're doing active and ongoing recruiting, AHRC Suffolk. Okay. We're right on Vets Highway here near the airport.
John, how can they get in touch with you?
The best way to do it is through our website, www.ddiny.org. There's an opportunity for staff to learn, for people to learn about opportunities to work at DDI at any of our dozens of locations across Suffolk and Nassau County. We unfortunately, we have many, many openings and many, many settings. But we certainly welcome everyone's interest.
Well, thank you all, Kerry, John, Paul, Lorraine, and Alicia. Now, thank you all for being on.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit. And our featured nonprofit for today is DSPs, Direct Service Professionals, not one agency, but all the agencies on Long Island. And a few months ago, we had an event where we honored the DSPs of Long Island, and each agency brought in one. And the speaker that day is on the phone with me. She is the acting commissioner of OPW. Kerry, welcome. Kerry Neifeld.
Hi, Ron. Thanks for having me.
So you are doing a lot since you started as acting, and I know that you're going to be the full-time commissioner coming up real soon, I hope. Anyway, so the budget came out, or the proposed budget came out, and you have a lot of good things for my agencies that are here. We have IGHL and we have East End Disabilities. What's working right now? Make them happy.
Well, you're right. The governor released her executive budget on Tuesday of this week, and we're very excited here at OPW, and I know that our providers are very excited too. The executive budget makes a lot of significant investments in OPWDD and in our providers. This year's budget adds $500 million, close to $500 million over last year's budget, which is almost a 12% increase year over year from last year to this year, which is really huge level of increase in support for OPWDD and the work that it does with our service providers. So we're really, really grateful to Governor Hochul for that and excited to see that. Some of the big significant investments that this budget makes is a 5.4% cost of living adjustment, which is a long sought after investment for our field. And our providers, it recognizes that, you know, the cost of living has gone up and, you know, that we want to add funding to our contracts to, you know, to enable providers to keep up with that. And certainly we think that that will also help with workforce issues, as, you know, we know that 75 to 85% of the costs that providers have is personnel. But in addition to the cost of living adjustment, the governor takes it a step further and recognizes how vital our direct support professionals are and includes them in her healthcare and mental hygiene workforce bonus proposal, which, depending on the length of time and the number of hours that a person's been employed, would qualify someone for an up to a $3,000 bonus. And that also, there's also a provision in the language of the bill that would allow providers to use this as a recruitment tool. And be able to provide this bonus to new employees on a prospective basis. So it's a really, it's a really amazing opportunity to be used both for retention and recruitment, and obviously to go directly into the pockets of the people whom we know are working so hard and really doing heroes work. We have a couple other investments in OPWDD's budget that we're very excited about, one of them being, almost $23 million to increase resources for housing, specifically to increase the amount of our housing voucher stipend so that it keeps pace with the HUD fair market rent value. For a long time, our voucher was not funded at that level and therefore, you know, wasn't as helpful for people who were looking to find an apartment in their community and have some supports and services in their own home. So we're hoping that this investment in the voucher will enable people to find independent living in their communities where we can, you know, assist with supports and services. There are a lot of other ways that this executive budget invests in OPW and our providers. Those are some of the big highlights that I, you know, I'm very excited to mention. And I think that we're going to have a really great year as a result.
Well, we hope so. And we look forward to you coming down and visiting everybody. We like that idea because I don't think OPW did it any more than show up at the galas before. And there you were. But anyway, so thank you so much for being on. Do either of you have a question you want to ask, Linda? These are the program directors, so go
no,
ahead.
No, I don't think I have any questions, but I just want to say how thankful we are to all that Kerry has done to really advocate for our field and to really do really positive things, and we're really thankful for all that she's done for us so far.
I couldn't have said it better, Linda. Commissioner, thank you so much for the commitment to the workforce. You know, I'm so glad when you said that we could use some of those resources potentially for recruitment, because once folks get through the door and start to meet the people that we're so privileged to support, they fall in love. But getting them through the door is something that's challenging for us. So I really appreciate that you're thinking about things that way. And I've heard you speak many times. I'm a board member for the New York Alliance for Inclusion and Innovation, as well as working at East End. And so many things that we talked about that we needed in our field are starting to come true. And so I really feel with you as in the leadership position and our incredible workforce, we're going to be able to do wonderful things in the years to come.
See, thank everybody you. Just needs attention, you know?
Yeah.
And there you are going, visiting them and everything else. Kerry, thank you so much for being on. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
So, thanks for having me, and I'm happy to be here. And I think, you know, I just would like to say that, you know, I think we have really an incredible team here at OPWDD and an incredible group of providers in the field, and I'm really happy and excited for all of our partnership going forward.
Thank you. Can I just share one more thing?
Sorry. Yeah.
I just also wanted to say thank you so much for paying attention to our messages and increasing the amount of the housing subsidy for our folks who are living independently. We've been doing a great job in helping people live independently and become good neighbors, only to have them challenged by the high rents on Long Island. So the fact that you are increasing the subsidy is really going to make an incredible difference in many of the people that we support. And at East End, we have probably about 140 people or so that are going to be impacted immediately by that. So thank you so much.
So is this budget not in effect yet? This is a proposed budget, right?
Correct.
That's correct. Right. Yeah. This is the governor's proposed budget, and we'll have an enacted budget by April 1.
Sounds great. Okay. Thanks, Kerry. I know you have a lot to do. So I'm going to get on and honor our DSPs here and talk about how this got started. We had Hassan Maksoud, who was the CEO of Community Care RX, had an idea that he wanted to honor the people that are kind of forgotten in a lot of ways and give them more attention than the CEOs get and the executives get at the different nonprofits they work for. He wanted to put on an event where he honored one DSP from each agency. He wanted to honor them all, but we couldn't do that. So we asked each agency to pick one DSP, and we would honor them at an event, and there were 38 people that were 38 DSPs were honored that night at Muttontown Country Club. And it was a wonderful event. And we thank Hassan for his foresight. He worked with my company, Marketing Works, in the event, and we helped them put it on. And we have one person here who was at the event, and she said it was excellent. That's good to know. I want to introduce Linda Ganji from IGHL.
Gotcha. Hi, I'm Linda Ganji. I'm the Senior Director of Program and Services for IGHL, and I've been with the company probably about 30 years.
Get
and
out of here, really?
I sure am.
I didn't know you were that old. Look at you.
I know. Time
you started at 10.
I did. I myself actually started as a direct support professional. I won't say what year, but I did quite some time ago.
At IGHL,
yes.
30 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing that everyone stays in their position, stays at their job. They're so committed to it. It's wonderful. I love that.
IGHL is a special place to work. It really is. So here today we have Jamie Herrera, who not only did we choose to be the person recognized at this event in Muttontown, but she also happened to be our, what we really pride ourselves on is having an employee of the month. And we've been doing that for the entire time that I've worked at IGHL. So Jamie was not only recognized as the direct support professional we recognized at this event, but she was also our employee of the month. So she really is a person that has gone above and beyond for IGHL. She works now as a direct support professional at our Oakley House and recently was promoted because of the fine work that she does with the people that we support. So it's an honor to have Jamie with us, and we're really thankful that for all that she does here at IGHL.
Jamie, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm glad you were at the event, you know, so you could tell us about that. How did you feel being there and getting that award?
I thought it was pretty cool to be there and see everybody from all different agencies there as well, like with different positions and like what they do and everything. So I thought it was pretty awesome.
Were you able to talk to any of them about their jobs versus your job since they were all DSPs?
I was talking to the people that I was sitting with, and they weren't DSPs, but they were doing stuff for the agencies, which I thought was pretty cool because you see like what it takes in order to run an agency. So they were like explaining what they were doing.
Oh, that's neat. Well, tell me about when you started. How many years have you been there?
I've been here for almost 6 years. I started in May of 2016.
And was this, you must have just gotten out of college because you look so young.
I started when I was 21.
Yeah, so it was like your first job, right?
No, I actually was in retail before this.
This is better than retail.
Yeah, definitely way better, way more rewarding.
You might have liked your clothes, but you could like the people here.
Yeah.
So what is your job like? What does a DSP do?
We care for them. We care for the clients and their needs and their emotional support. We're basically like their family because a lot of our clients, they don't really get to see their family that much. So we are there for them every single day, just helping them. We not only like care for them, but we help them with like things like making an Amazon order or just like making breakfast. Like it's stuff like that that's like really rewarding.
How many people do you take care of?
I take care of 5 girls.
5 girls.
Yes.
And how are they, do they have special needs?
Yeah, they are all, and they're all higher functioning. So some of them are lower than others, but they're all like they're very awesome. They all have their own like opinions and everything. So they will talk back to you. They're just like us. It's pretty cool to...
Well, they have abilities.
Yes.
I love that word. They do.
Yeah.
Joy, let's hear from your group now, East End Disabilities. I've been there. I loved your CEO. I miss her. She's the best.
She is the best. Yeah, we're very fortunate to work with Lisa. So my name's Joy O'Shaughnessy, and I work at East End Disabilities, overseeing all of the programs and supports and services that we have. And like Linda, I'm not afraid. I'll say I started as a DSP in 1983, yeah. Wow. So someone can do the math. And I fell in love with this world, and that was not my path. I didn't think I was going to stay in this world. I thought I would become a teacher. I had a degree. I was ready to do that, and just fell so in love with the population and the ability to have a great and important impact on the lives of the folks that we support. And it's been a wonderful journey and a great way to spend a career. And I thought it would be interesting today to bring with me one of the staff who works in a program that I have a hold really close to my heart. It's our crisis intervention program.
Wow.
And when Linda and I started as DSPs, or even when I did, people either worked in houses or day programs. And that's the kind of role that people were used to for DSPs. But now our DSPs do everything from help people get jobs, work in the community with them, work in their homes, help people, support people in their own apartments. And our crisis intervention program is a grant that's funded through OPWDD that supports and helps families, not just the individuals, but the families manage in the day-to-day challenges that they face in supporting their loved ones who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And Robert Dumas is a star in this program. He has been with us for about 8 years at East End, and he came to us with a lot of great experience from other worlds. And Rob goes into folks' homes at when people are at their worst, when they're really going through a difficult time, and is able to go in to provide some stability, provide support and reassurance to the families that we're going to get through this, that we're going to get you the supports that you need, and helps people navigate the whole service delivery system. So he operates a 24-hour hotline where families can call them, and they call in the middle of the night, they call on the holidays, and Rob and the team are out there supporting the families. Right, Rob?
Yes.
Tell me about yourself, Robert, more than yes.
About myself? Well, I started out as a helper. I used to, I have two boys, and I started working for PAL, coaching.
Really?
So that's when
baseball?
I knew I wanted to help. Football.
Oh, I was in hockey. So.
Was it hockey? Okay. Still, rough sports.
PAL,
still,
though.
PAL, yeah. Yes.
Me too.
So I started working with other kids that weren't my own and other families, so I enjoyed it. And then I ended up getting a job as a CCW, which is a child care worker, which is somewhat similar to a DSP. And I was in that field for about 8 years. And then that program closed where I was at. And I came over to East End and started working with a new population and ended up loving it. And got somewhat promoted because I still am a DSP, but got promoted to work on the crisis team and work in the field and work with different families. So I see a lot of different families and individuals.
Well, tell me how that job during the COVID period was. Was it worse than it was before? I mean, was it harder for you?
It was harder for everybody. I can't just say harder for myself, but also for the individuals and for the families, because a lot of the guys were taken out of their normal program. You know, a lot of individuals are used to going to school, going to programs, and during the COVID time, the numbers decreased on how many guys were allowed in programs. So we had a lot of guys that was going through a lot of behaviors. We had a lot of families that was finding it hard to adjust because they couldn't go to work. Some were scared to go to work and then bring the COVID home. So we would get a lot of hotline calls. We would also try to help with day support. So I have to congratulate my teammates, my team members, East End, you know, for taking a risk. We all took the risk. And there was times where throughout the days we would bring guys in from home to give them day support, to spend some time with them, to get them out of the house and also allow some of the families to go to work and also give everybody some vent time, because it became very stressful.
Linda, let me ask you a question. The DSPs right now, there's such a shortage. How many could you use? It's that much. Huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, like any other service industry, you know, finding good workers was challenging enough, but finding it when people are scared to work in healthcare because of COVID and the things that have really scared people. And hopefully with our commissioner giving some money into the system, that might really generate more people wanting to come and work in our field. It's a rewarding field. And I think, much like Joy said earlier, once a person actually comes, they don't want to leave. They really enjoy the work that they do. It's just a matter of finding the means to support them in a meaningful way, so they find this as a career path as opposed to a stopping place for them to come and just find a job for the weekend or for a few months. So getting any staff in is really something that we're really striving to do. We're trying to find creative ways to train people in nuances, to incentivize people to stay for us, to be able to bring people in for a variety of reasons. So finding good workers is difficult. Finding good workers in this sort of time, unprecedented times that we're in here in the world and in New York and on Long Island, I really think is a challenge. But we're up for it and we're doing the best that we can. I have to say, thank goodness we have the quality of staff that we do at IGHL, and we have the quality of people that really oversee what we do and really support all of the things that we want to have happen.
Now, if somebody wants to go forward with a position, How do they get in touch with each of you? I'm going to start with you,
Linda. Oh, they can contact me right at IGHL. Our website is the www.ighl.org website. There they can find the application process. They can find contacts of all of the people that they can. They can contact me directly, lganji@ighl.org, and I will absolutely do whatever I have to do to get people to begin a career here within the developmental disability population, and in particular at IGHL.
Joy?
Well, you know, we will run to your door. people can look at our website. We have a website. It's www.eed-a.org, and they can apply for positions online. If they have questions, they can call our office, and someone will be happy to answer all those questions. We have ability and positions open in lots of different services. So,
well, I want to thank you all for being on today. It was excellent. You did a great job. And our show today was about DSPs, the best people to work with. I'm Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.